First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Vice President Mike Pence was in Wisconsin this week to fundraise and campaign for state Republicans. A Democratic group is targeting reliably red districts with its funding. And after a wet fall, farmers around the state are dealing with wet fields, making it tough to harvest their crops. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks.
So Vice President Pence was in Green Bay on Wednesday to campaign with Governor Walker and Senate candidate Leah Vukmir. Here's a listen to some of what he had to say.
But I'm here, like all of you, to get behind this good governor one more time. And I just want to touch very briefly on the reasons why we're here. It's because of the man, it's because of the progress, and it's because of the choice that Wisconsin faces.
So talk a little more about Vice President Pence's visit and his support of Wisconsin Republicans, Rob.
Sure. So Pence has been here a few times, and he is, I think I've observed this, but he is really, he and Governor Scott Walker are two peas in a pod. They're both Midwestern governors whose politics came out of the Reagan era. They both combine being quite conservative in their policies and also sort of personally unassuming in manner. They've campaigned before. I wouldn't be shocked to see them campaign together again yet before the election. You know, it's not so much that Pence is necessarily extremely popular in Wisconsin, but he is consistently more popular than President Trump is. That's most opinion polls show that. And so, he comes to town, gets some attention, gets some people out, and hopes to rile up the Republican base.
And Governor Walker is either neck and neck in this race or behind by a chunk, depending on which poll this week you follow. But clearly, if the vice president is here, national Republicans are paying attention to our race for governor here in the state.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Walker, because of the nature of his, how he has governed and the course that he's taken in Wisconsin has become a symbol of a certain brand of Republican politics. And Wisconsin is of importance to President Trump's 2020 prospects. So, yeah, I mean, they're paying attention to this one.
We're getting a lot of attention from outside groups in Wisconsin on both sides, and not just in the race for governor, races for Senate, and some of our state legislative seats. Rob, in the campaign world, a Democratic group called Forward Majority is investing $1 million in this election cycle in Wisconsin, but not necessarily the seats you'd expect them to. What's their strategy?
This is sort of interesting, and in the scheme of things, $1 million is not a huge amount, but for some of these races, it's going to be one of the larger amounts spent. Forward Majority is what they're trying to do. What they say they're trying to do is to expand the electoral map for Democrats. They exist to do political spending in places that everyone sort of thinks of as safe Republican seats, which have been historically safe Republican seats. But if it is true that Democrats are headed for some form of a wave election this year, as many indicators would support, it always happens in wave elections that sometimes people who were in safe seats end up not being so safe, that incumbents can fall in surprising places. And so this is part of, the sort of national Democrat effort. This is a Washington, D.C.-based group to try to, put the pieces in place for some of those potential surprises, I guess.
Do you know a couple of the seats they're focusing on that are usually seen as safely Republican districts?
Well, I mean, the greatest example is they say that they're going to spend in Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald's district. That's a very safe Republican district, and Fitzgerald has been around a long time and has a great deal of political capital within that district. That's a fine example of the sort of district that would be actually shocking to see flip. But again, this is politics, right? And there are there may be some benefit to Democrats to having applied pressure even in places that are long shots.
I've seen two schools of thought, even among Democrats, some saying this is a waste of money. It should be spent on closer districts. Others saying these guys did work in Virginia, where there was a dramatic election that was one of the first big pieces of evidence people looked at to say, hey, this could be a real blue wave.
Right. Exactly right. And, you know, there's a bit of a paradox here where part of what happens in a wave election, and we've seen Democratic waves and Republican waves in Wisconsin in the last decade, that races that you wouldn't expect that maybe there was no spending on. So it's not necessarily that it's tied directly to the sort of like amount of dollars spent by an outside group or by candidates. But it is the case that when the conditions are such, there are some people are going to lose elections that people like you and I would not have predicted, you know, 6 months ago or whatever.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, rounding up some top news stories from around the state this week. Stepping away from politics, Rob, which is always good to do. We've had a wet summer, a wet October so far. There's a lot of concerns for farmers. What kind of things are we hearing about in the state?
You know, farmers can't catch a break. I mean, it's been a terrible fall. We all know this. It's been raining for weeks. It's cold. I have a head cold, which I feel is very unfair. So it's been the worst. But for me, those are just like inconveniences or minor hassles. But farmers who are already under pressure with the trade war and dealing with tariffs and low prices for some of the commodities, the rain is really serious, actually. The fields are really muddy. It means you can't harvest your corn or your soybeans if you can't get out into the field with your big, heavy machinery. It's a real risk that some portion of these harvests might not be doable if it doesn't sort of dry out soon.
It sounds like, Rob, there's a race against the clock. The fields have to dry out in time to get that equipment out there before it freezes too hard and kills some of these crops. That's what has farmers worried?
Right, exactly so, yeah. And Rick Barrett of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote about this and was looking at some of the weekly ag reports. There was an observer in Adams and Juneau counties who wrote that some corn and soybeans have been standing in water for over a month. Soybeans are turning black in the field. Corn is falling over. Very depressing. That's the quote from this report. And, you know, I mean, some people are going to be hit worse than others. But again, it comes at a time when, like, soybean prices have already fallen a great deal in the last year, and soybeans are directly affected by new Chinese tariffs. So it's just like another complication, another problem that these farmers don't need.
We'll be watching that harvest over the next week. And finally, Rob, a story out of the Sheboygan Press this week looking at the fall and rise of a Wisconsin soda brand, Jolly Good. A familiar name for a lot of people in Wisconsin. Jog our memory about the soda.
Jolly Good soda. Yeah, this is a real nostalgia object for a lot of Wisconsinites. So this is a regional soda produced in a random lake, Wisconsin, near Sheboygan, that was very popular in the 1980s, 1990s. You get a lot of Generation X and old millennials who have some fond memories of drinking Jolly Good as kids. It went away, it sort of declined, and eventually was discontinued in 2007, and came back about two and a half years ago, and a lot of people have been very excited about it. And yeah, this was really my colleague Marina Affo did a sort of deep dive into what was behind that, how it was that it came back, and some of the people's sort of nostalgic connections to the soda, which it turns out are substantial.
And it sounds like it was crowded out because of it was tough to get shelf space in stores. The big soda brands kind of monopolized what placement you could get in stores. Well, now all of a sudden people like local regional stuff. Is that part of the story of the comeback?
That's exactly it. No, yeah, that's exactly it. It was sort of pressured out of the business, and at the same time, this company that makes it, Cryer Foods, they do like packaging of other sodas, juices, and other foods. And that side of their business was growing at the same time that their soda side was shrinking. So they made a business decision. But yeah, this is the bringing it back is specifically the play for, you know what, people kind of like regional sodas or oddball candies and other things that are not like something that you can get anywhere in any 7-Eleven or whatever. So yeah, Jolly Good is back for a niche audience.
Rob, it's been jolly good talking to you, and I hope you get over that cold.
All right, thank you.
Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He was with us for our weekly look at news from around the state.